Good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here. You know, with all that's been going on in the world, locally, society, and even some of the topics we've been addressing over the last 6 months or so, as I was seeking the Lord, I just felt like the Lord said, the people just need some TLC, okay? They need some TLC. We need to kind of step back. And so we're starting a new series, as Ross mentioned today, and it's on the Father's heart. The Father's heart. And I love this topic because really it's the core of Christianity. It's the core of our faith. It's what it's all about. It's engaging and having relationship, experiencing the love and goodness of the Father and returning that love to Him. And so we're going to start this series today. You know, one of the greatest needs that God has put in the heart of every single person, He's put the need for a loving Father. All of us carry that need. We've been created by God, and He's put inside of us that desire for a loving Father. Dr. Meg Meckler, she's a pediatrician. She's a mother, a grandmother, a best-selling author, a leading authority on parenting. She's been on Focus on the Family, numerous things. She says this quote, from all her experience and working with many, many families and kids, she says this: fathers are the central figure in the identity formation of a child. Let me read that again. Fathers are the central figure in the identity formation of a child. Consequently, the lack of a positive father or father figure in the life of a child can be devastating. Look at some of these statistics here. Children who grow up in fatherless homes are 90% more likely to be homeless, 85% more likely to have behavioral disorders, 63% more likely to commit suicide as a youth, 71% more likely to become pregnant as a teen, 85% more likely to be in prison as a youth, 4 times more likely to live in poverty, 10 times more likely to use drugs, 14 times more likely to commit rape, and 32 times more likely to run away from home. That's the impact of not having a positive father figure in the home. And our very first impressions, our very first pictures, our very first idea of what Father God is like comes from our fathers. God intended fathers to give to their children, although imperfectly, He intended them to give to their children a picture, an experience, an image of what He Himself is like as Father God. Look at this passage in Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? In this passage, Jesus is teaching, and He's saying, you know, we, with all our flaws, with all our shortcomings, even though we sin, As parents, we know how to give good gifts to our children. We show that. How much more does the Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to His kids? You see, parents and fathers, they're supposed to be a model, a picture. Give the child an experience, an understanding of what Father God is like. And so some of us have grown up with fathers that gave us a good image of what Father God is like. It's like they helped us to have like a springboard into our relationship, a loving relationship with Father God. We've had fathers that gave us a sense of warmth or safety, or that were loving and encouraging, helpful, protecting. Unfortunately,
Some of us have had fathers that gave us a negative image, a negative picture of what Father God is like. Maybe some of you have had that experience. An abusive father, a neglectful father, a demanding father, a manipulative father, an absent father, an unresponsive father, a critical father. If a child grows up, let's say, with a critical father, and he comes to read the Bible or hears a message about Father God, what kind of image do you think that child or that person is going to carry into how they view God, if all their life they've experienced a critical father? What was your father like? Did your father give some positive modeling images of what Father God is like? All fathers, all of us, have shortcomings. All of us are flawed. And because of that, I think many people grow up with father wounds that hinder their relationship with Father God. I thought of this example. What if a family, they wanted to get a new dog, all right? They wanted to get a dog and bring it into the family, a pet dog. And so they had a young child. And so in order to prep that child for the dog that they were planning to bring, they would show the child a picture of a dog, right? Every day they would show the picture of a dog to try to prep the child for when they brought the dog home. And let's say this is the picture that they showed of the dog, right? And they say, we're going to get a dog one day, and this is a picture of maybe the dog we'll have, right? And the child looks at that, and it's like so cute and, you know, cuddly, and every day. And then they start developing, right, this fond affection of image of what dogs are all about. So when they bring the dog home, they'll be like, oh my gosh, right, we get a new dog. On the other hand, what if this is the picture that they showed to the child? Every day they got this image of what a dog is like, right? And we're going to bring a dog home one day, right? They're going to be scared of the dog. They're not going to want to be close to the dog, right? In the same way, fathers were intended by God to give a positive picture, to give them some tangible experiences of what a loving father is like. But unfortunately, like I said, many of us have grown up in homes where that picture was distorted. And the enemy, Satan, uses those negative pictures and experiences to hinder us, to keep us from experiencing the true heart of the Father. Well, my hope and prayer is that as we go through this series on the Father's heart, that the Holy Spirit will touch us, that He will address and reinforce the positive images that you received from your Father that help to springboard you into a relationship with God. But also that the Holy Spirit and Jesus would heal negative images, negative experiences, hurtful experiences you might have had from your fathers. Because Jesus came to show us what the true Father is like, what the heart of the Father is like. And Jesus came to help heal us of father wounds, so that we could fully engage in, have a loving relationship with a heavenly Father who loves us dearly. So today, We're going to start with what I think is the core of the Father's heart. It's the center of a father's heart. And that is a four-letter word, L-O-V-E, love, okay? Love is the core, the foundation of the father's heart. So let's start with this verse here, 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says this, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Okay, God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Okay, so right here, the Bible is defining what real love is all about. You know, there's a lot of different ideas of what love is about. The world presents love in all these different, and I believe, distorted ways. But the Bible right here is defining this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. The Father's heart, Father God's heart, is love. His heart is love because he is love. Everything he does is motivated from love. Because he is love and he is true to his character. He is always characterized by love. And his love is so enormous, so big, so huge that his love compelled him to give up, to sacrifice, to offer up the most precious thing to him as a father. His one and only son, his only begotten son, Jesus. And Jesus, because he knew the heart of his father, willingly offered himself for us. Now, I believe, you know, I've thought a lot about God's love. I've thought a lot about his love over the years. And I've come, you could disagree, you could, you know, do your own research, read the word for yourself, but I think there are different types. God has different types of love. He has different types of love. One of his types of love that God has, it's his general love, okay? God has this is his love for all people. He loves every single person who has ever lived. He has a love for all people. He loves, the Bible says, the whole world, right? We know the very famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the whole world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, right, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So he sacrificed, he offered, he gave his only son because he loved the whole world. So that's one of God's love, his general love for the whole world. But I believe God also has a familial love, a love, a special love for his family, for his children, for his people. You know, right now I'm in my Bible reading. I'm in I just finished Isaiah. I've been going through the Old Testament. And very, very clearly in the Old Testament, you could see that the Jews are his chosen people. He says that many times, that you are my people. And the nations, they are not his people. Now, he has a general love for the nations, but he treats his people differently than he treats the nations. You know, sometimes for blessing and sometimes to discipline them. But he treats his people in the Old Testament, the Jews, differently because they are his people. They are his family, right? They are called to have a special place in his heart. And so God has general love and he has a special love. You know, we're talking about the Father's heart, and especially the Father heart of God. There's only one way that you can know and experience the Father heart of God. That's as God is your Father. If God is not your Father, you won't experience his Father's heart. You won't experience. Look at these verses. John 1:12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, some people might think, well, that's not fair. That doesn't seem right. That God has general love, and that's an awesome love. That love compelled him to offer his son as a sacrifice. That's how much he loves everyone. But you may think, that's not fair. That does he have favorites then? Right? Does he play favorites? Does he have his family and then his general love kind of like wimpier than his special love, right? But it is fair. You know why? Because he offers to anyone to become part of his family. And he wants everyone to become part of his family. He wants every single person to become his child, to be able to call him their father. And it's offered to everyone. And this passage says, to all who believed him, who's the him? Jesus. Jesus. To all who believed in Jesus, to those who accepted Jesus and what he's done for us, he gave the right to become children of God. 1 John 3:1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. So this passage says how blessed we are to be the children of God. We can call God our Father. But he says the world, all the people that have not received Jesus Christ, have not submitted themselves to God as their Father, they don't know him. So right there, the passage, it makes a distinction between those of the world who God loves, but those who are of his family. And then the final verse, Galatians 4:6, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, he does something amazing. God does something amazing. He gives and pours out his very Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. He pours that Spirit into our lives to come into our hearts. And that Spirit is in us bearing witness, constantly affirming, you are God's child. You are God's beloved child. He is your Father, Abba, Papa, Daddy, God, Father. You, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. And that Spirit, this passage says, is bearing witness, constantly affirming, confirming, securing you in the fact that God is your beloved Father. And there's a cry in your spirit for him. That comes from the Spirit of God. God wants you to be part of his family. He wants you to know him as your very own Father, to be his child. But you have to accept Jesus. You have to accept Jesus to come into his family. And that's the only way you will know him as Father God. The only way you will know his Father's love, his Father's heart for you. Now, if we want to see, well, what does the Father's love look like? What does it look like in action? There's only one place we need to look, and that's Jesus. Because Jesus came to show us the Father's heart perfectly show us the Father's heart, the Father's love, what the Father is like. He says everything he did, everything he said was what the Father did and said. Okay? And so let's look. We're going to look at a passage where the Father actually verbally, audibly announces to people his heart for his son, Jesus, his child, Jesus. And I believe what the Father says to Jesus, it's what the Father and the Spirit says and is saying to us and how he loves us as well. So let's look at Matthew 3:17. This is Jesus' baptism. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven. Can you imagine if we were there? Jesus came baptized. All of a sudden, there's this voice coming out of heaven. It's like a megaphone, right? A loudspeaker blasting the voice of the Father. And this is what the Father says to everyone that was there in an audible voice. This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. The Father could have said anything at that moment. He was speaking audibly to everyone that was there. He could have said anything. He would have said, you better obey Jesus, or Jesus came for you, or he could have said a number of things. But what the Father chose to say at one of the few times where it's an audible voice by Father God to people that heard, he says, this is my dearly loved Son. He brings me great joy. Now, there's three things from this passage about the Father's love for Jesus and the Father's love for you. First, Father God shouted, this is my Son. He was saying, he belongs to me. He belongs to me. He's my very own. I am his personal father. And he is my child. You know, one of the greatest experiences I've had, it's almost like speechless. It's the birth of my three kids. Seeing my three kids born, it's like indescribable. It's like, oh my, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And at that moment, it's like, they're mine. They're my child. You know, when you received Jesus Christ, you know, there was this huge blowout party in heaven. The Bible says, when one sinner repents and comes to the Lord, the angels rejoice. So when you accepted Jesus Christ, the angels were whooping it up in heaven. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah, they're high five. Because the Father had another kid, right? They're passing out candy. It's a boy. It's a girl. They were rejoicing over you. Because Father God had another child, his very own. That's my son. That's my daughter. I formed them. I made them. The Bible says in Psalm 139, when they were in their mom's womb, I was forming them. We have some, right, moms to be here. The Spirit is forming the child in them. Because he's the potter. He says, that's mine. Father God said of Jesus, this is my Son. And he says of you, this, you are my son. You are my daughter. And he would do anything for you because you're his. Secondly, the father shouted, not only that this is my son, this is my dearly loved son. He loved his son, and he was announcing it to the world. There's a passage that's been really on my heart recently about the love of God, and it's found in Ephesians 3. And so we're going to look at that real quick right now. Ephesians 3, verse 16. This is Paul praying for believers. Paul praying. This is Paul's prayer for you and me. Paul says, I pray that from this his glorious, unlimited resources, he, God, will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Paul prays that you would realize, and I would realize, and they would realize that Jesus Christ wants to make his home, is making his home in our hearts. He's making a space for him to live and to move and to guide and to love and to encourage and to bless in you. He says, make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Now look at this. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. He says he prays to the Father that in your life, your roots would dig down deeper and deeper into the Father's love. That you would be rooted in the Father's love. That they would go and spread out and go deeper and deeper so that you would know and experience and be secured in the Father's love. And then he continues, verse 18, and may you have the power to understand. May you know, may you understand, may your eyes be opened as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. You know, we've heard that before. God's love is high and wide and deep and long. You know, I thought about that. I thought about God's love being long. And you know what I realized? Wherever you are on your journey of life, if you're far along on your journey of life, or if you're starting to walk in who God made you to be, his love is there with you. But if you are at the starting line still, and you've barely moved, long, but it's long this way too. You're way back. His love for you is there too, just as strong. Maybe you've walked some, but you've stumbled and you've started walking back. His love for you is there too. His Father's love is there for you too. How about the breadth of God's love? This way, to the left or to the right? We've heard a lot about that today. Are you on the left or are you on the right? God, if you're on the left, God's Father's love is there for you. And if you're on the right, his love is there for you too. If you're walking along and you go off course one way or the other, it doesn't matter how far off course you go, his Father's love is there for you, just the same as it's always been. How about his love being high and deep? Maybe in life you're at a high place right now. God is rejoicing with you. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father of lights in James. He's so happy for you. He's rejoicing for you because you're at the heights. But maybe you're at the depths. You're at a dark place. You're at a lonely place. You're at a hard place. You're struggling with things. You're stumbling. The Father's love is there, just as strong, just as much, because His love is high and deep. And then Paul says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great for understanding. That means there's more of His love to know. There's more of His love to experience. There's more of His love for you. You never get there. There's always more. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. God's love is great. And He says, this is my dearly loved son. And He says to you, you are my dearly loved son. You are my precious, beloved, beautiful daughter. Finally, the father shouted, you bring me so much joy. You know what he was saying? Son, you please me. You know the father's heart for you? You're always pleasing to him. That doesn't mean that everything we do, he likes. It doesn't mean he's pleased with everything we do. But he is always, always, always pleased with you. The person you are. The person, your personality, your appearance, your heart, your future, who he made you to be. He is always pleased with the person you are. He isn't always pleased with the things we do, but he is always pleased with who you are. Because he made you and he saved you and he gave up his very own son for you and he's filled you with his very own spirit. And the Bible says, Ephesians 1, that he has made you in Christ holy and blameless in his love. And so he is always pleased with. Now, so the Father tells Jesus, you belong to me. You are dearly loved. You are pleasing to me and bring me much joy. Imagine on a human level, if a child heard that every day, experienced that every day from their earthly father, what would that do to that child? That child would live in confidence, in assurance, in security, have a healthy self-image. That's what God wants of you. That's what the Father wants of you. To live confidently and secure and like, I could do anything because my Father is with me. My Father loves me. His Spirit is in me. I think I'm going to have the worship team come up. Why don't you guys come up? I was going to have us listen to I think we'll still do it. Okay. I was just pausing. I was just asking God, like, do you want us to do it still? Do you want us to? Okay. I think we're still. So if you're watching the recording of this, Just know that you belong to the Lord, that he loves you dearly, and you are pleasing to him. And the only way to know that kind of love is to accept Jesus Christ so that God is your Father. And right now I'm going to have us listen to, it's a prophetic word. It's one of my favorites. Some of you have heard it. Some of you have heard it many times. I've heard it personally many, many, many times. And if you're watching the recording, we're going to put a link so you could actually go to YouTube and watch it yourself. And so thanks for joining us, and God bless you, and go to that link and let the Father minister to you. We're right here, the in-person.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.